Hello and welcome to St. Paul's Terry Hills. Today's sermon is on the subject of judging others, and it comes from Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. To judge or not to judge? That is the question, or at least today's question. What do you think? Should Christians judge others? I think it would make for an interesting debate if we were to get two sides. I wonder which side of the debate you would like to be on. Christians should not judge, or Christians should judge. Our world says Christians should not judge. They say that we are in fact judgmental. I remember when I first became a Christian, at that stage I still went to the pub with my friends from school. But when I said to them no more drinks and to getting drunk with them, they accused me of being judgmental. It's not like I was saying, guys, what you are doing is wrong and what I'm doing is right. I didn't have to say anything. Just by my actions, they thought I was judging them. Well, what does Jesus say? Let me start by reading today's passage from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Okay, point one. If you have the outline that was in the service sheet, you will see that point one is judging wrongly. The three opening words of Jesus' teaching here are quite clear. He says, do not judge. You can't get any clearer than that. But does that mean the debate is over already? Christians should not judge, full stop. Well, let's not call it too early. Why shouldn't we judge, according to Jesus in verse 1? He says, do not judge others, or you too will be judged by God. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged by God, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. See, none of us obey God's law perfectly. All of us fall short. We are all law breakers, transgressors, sinners. This is the starting point for Jesus. We are all sinners. You are, I am. With that in mind, let's continue to verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? So what is Jesus condemning? He's condemning hypocrisy. Or more accurately, he's condemning hypocritical judgment. That's judging wrongly with hypocrisy. And that's what really upsets people. Hypocritical Christians. Christians who say one thing but do another. Who speak out against one sin but are known to commit another. So to go back to my earlier years as a Christian, for my friends to know that I had given up drinking and partying, but then to see me on the soccer field in those days, getting all fired up, getting into altercations with the opposition, getting booked by the referee, and on a handful of occasions getting sent off, to my shame. My friends love seeing that happen because then they could point the finger at me and say, Scott is a hypocrite. Now, in a sense, we are all hypocrites because none of us are perfect. We all have our sins. So does that mean that none of us are in the position to judge? Is the debate all over? Christians should not judge because they are sinners. Not quite. Point two is about judging correctly. Verse 5, Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay, so what is Jesus teaching here in Matthew 7? Jesus condemns hypocritical judging, absolutely, but not judging altogether. To judge correctly, if you like, is to judge without hypocrisy. It's to make sure that you are judging yourself first, assessing your own life seriously, your own behavior, your own thought patterns. It's repenting of your own sins. It's taking the plank out of your own eye. It's only then that you are in any position to correct a brother or sister. Note that Jesus is talking about correcting or judging a brother or sister, not someone who is not a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. So Jesus is not talking about judging non-Christians for their behavior. That is not our job. But correcting a brother or sister in Christ. That is, in fact, our God-given responsibility. Now, as I'm sure that you are aware, most organisations have a grievance policy. It is likely that the organisation that you work for has a grievance policy, and hopefully you haven't had to make yourself aware of it. Did you know that churches too have grievance policies? I worked at a church in the past where the senior minister on one occasion proudly announced to the congregation that he had developed a new grievance policy for our church. Now, on that particular occasion, it just so happened that the husband of a friend of ours, who never comes to church, so he never came to church, but his wife and children were always in church Sunday by Sunday. He happened to be there on that occasion. The senior minister proudly announces this new grievance policy, and he famously turns to us and says, why does a church have to have a grievance policy? It's certainly nothing to be proud of. It is to our shame that we have to have a grievance policy. But sadly, because of our sin, Jesus himself gives us, his church, a grievance policy to follow. And I should say that any church or Christian organization worth its salt will shape its own grievance policy around Jesus' instruction in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Which I want to read for you now, because in those verses, Jesus goes on to outline the right way to judge, or at least the right process in judging. So Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, if only we followed Jesus' teaching here. I've been around long enough working in churches and church schools to see the damage that gets done when Jesus' teaching here is not followed, when it's ignored. Sadly, way too often, when someone does something wrong or they do something we don't like, rather than speaking directly to the person, we talk to others about it. We get a group around us that becomes the anti-group. And before you know it, the anti-group becomes an anti-faction. And tensions start to develop between the anti-faction and the pro-faction. The anti-faction develops into an anti-movement, recruiting others into the cause. Things can escalate so quickly, and so many relationships can get damaged. It gets to the point where, humanly speaking, it's impossible to unravel it all. What is true? What is gossip? And what's hearsay? Judgments then have to get made at a higher level. Awful announcements have to be made in church. The worst case scenario is an absolute disaster, all because we ignore Jesus' grievance policy. We skip step one, we skip step two, all because we don't want to judge. We don't speak directly to the person. We avoid confrontation. Most of us, I'd imagine, are conflict avoiders. It's a rare person who is comfortable with confrontation. Even rarer to find a person who enjoys it. And certainly when it comes to our Christian brothers and sisters in church, I'm sure that most of us would be very uncomfortable pointing out a fault, to use Jesus' own words, to judge correctly. But did you know that Galatians chapter 6 says that judging correctly is actually an act of love? Listen to this from verse 1 of Galatians 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." This is just another way of describing Jesus' grievance policy. Step one, one-to-one conversation with the person, not talking to others about what they have done. Notice that the Apostle Paul is not talking about confrontation. The approach is not to be combative. Gently is the key word that he uses. It's to be done in gentleness. That's an important word for those who are comfortable with confrontation, who enjoy combat. Gentleness is the key. And notice too that the aim of such a difficult conversation is restoration. That the person caught in sin is restored to a right relationship with God, first and foremost. And then where possible to others, that their sinful behavior is impacting. The Apostle Paul continues. He says, "But watch yourselves, or you too may be tempted." So this picks up on Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7 about the right way to judge, that is, unhypocritically. We too are sinners. The mature Christian who corrects a brother or sister acknowledges that they are not above sinning. They acknowledge that, put in the same circumstances, they too could just as easily fall. We don't pretend that we're any better as we approach these conversations. We acknowledge that we too are sinners in need of the grace of God. This attitude of humility and grace is what we must bring to these very difficult conversations, not a superiority complex. As Paul says in verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. And so, when done correctly, that is gently, with the aim of restoration, and with the right attitude, that is in humility and grace, such difficult conversation, he describes like this in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That is the law of love. To love God and to love your neighbor. We love God and we love our Christian brother or sister when we judge them correctly. And we sin when we judge hypocritically. Now, that wouldn't be a bad place to stop. That's a good summary of Jesus' teaching on this subject. But you might have noticed I've skipped one verse back in Matthew chapter 7, probably the most difficult verse in that section, the final verse, verse 6, where Jesus speaks about judgments about unbelievers. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says this. This is my final point. He says in verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, what on earth does this have to do with judging others? Well, Jesus is saying that we do have to make a judgment about non-Christians at one point. Generally speaking, what the Apostle Paul says back in 1 Corinthians 5 is the principle that we apply in our relationships with non-Christians. So let me repeat that important verse that I read before. He says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. So Paul's saying, we don't judge the behavior of non-Christians. What they do is between them and God. And if they aren't living for God, we should expect that some of their behaviors will be contrary to God's will. But back in Matthew 7, Jesus is talking about a particular situation in our relating to unbelievers. If they reject our message, that is the message of the gospel, we have to make a judgment call. We do not give dogs what is sacred. We do not throw your pearls to pigs. That is, at some point, we stop trying to persuade them. We stop trying to convince them of the truth of the gospel. At what point do we make that call? Well, Jesus says when they trample all over the glorious and precious message that we are sharing with them. When they stop listening and they go on the attack. When they turn and tear you to pieces is the language that Jesus uses. This is the time to exercise judgment and say no more. It's time to back off. It's time to stop throwing pearls to swine, to use Jesus' colorful language. It doesn't mean we stop loving them. or caring for them or praying for them. But we must press pause until there is a change of heart. Now, in my experience, most non-Christians aren't swine, to use Jesus' language, in the sense of going on the attack. On the whole, I find that people are happy to hear a little bit, to discuss, to even disagree, and then the conversation moves on. The topic of conversation is changed. The opportunity is gone. They don't get aggressive. They don't go on the attack. In this more common situation that we experience, we pray and we wait for the next opportunity. In this sense, what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 4 is a good principle for us to live by as we relate to outsiders. He says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So let me sum this all up. To judge or not to judge. We have seen that Jesus condemns hypocritical judging, but he encourages us to judge correctly, that is, unhypocritically, as an act of love for our brother or sister, speaking directly to the person rather than to others about the issue, or at least taking one or two others as we approach gently with the aim of restoring. And only judging outsiders in the sense of withholding the gospel if their only aim is to trample all over us.